Talk Shoes. Recorded live.
Yes, again, welcome all to another episode of Household Stress, Head of Household, live talk show. The only rule that we have tonight is no profanity. Just hold it in if you can. Please hold it in. We're live on the air at WLLradio.com. I got my man, Mr. Hubbard, on the line with us. He's going to join us tonight. Tonight's topic is Victoria's Secret, Sexual Abuse Before Marriage. And I want to play a little something real quick, if you guys give me a second to get it queued up.
Ask you that, that's a great lead in to one of the questions I have, and that is, if you have been sexually abused or your spouse has been sexually abused or your partner, should they disclose that before you get too far in the relationship?
Yes.
And why would you think so?
Because it could be, you never know what's going to trigger that flashback. You know, people who are victims of those kinds of things, they have some low level of post-traumatic stress disorder, you know. And so you never know what thing is going to trigger the episode that's going to lead to a meltdown and have that other person looking at you like, why? And so those are important things to let people know so that you can kind of move forward. Like, it's not easy, but it is definitely important. You know, has something happened to you? Do I need to know? Is this something I shouldn't do? Is this, you know, those are important things because, I mean, you know, he could trigger some feeling to have you bashing his head and he doesn't know why.
And I think also that they deserve to say whether they are ready to handle something like that. Everybody can't handle that. Everybody's not ready to deal with that, you know, that kind of situation, and don't know how to deal with that kind of situation. So to get married and then all of a sudden they're hit, it's a blindsided thing, and they don't know how to deal with it because you've never said anything, and now they're trying to figure out if they could trust you. And dealing with that, they don't know if they want to hang in for something like that because that's not what they signed up for.
Well, I think you guys really did a lot of good points. Some of the research I was doing actually says that, you know, it's that.
Okay, did everybody hear the clip?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. The first question that I want to throw out tonight is how do you initiate a conversation in reference to your spouse being sexually abused prior to the marriage? How would you initiate that conversation? We do know that it's happened to a lot of women and men as well. But we may have issues in our marriage and we're focusing on one thing, and that could be the underlying issue, but we haven't been given that information yet. So just to throw the question out, what would be a delicate way to ask your spouse, you know, about their past? Is there something in their past that they didn't feel comfortable enough to tell you in reference to some type of sexual abuse?
So you're saying you wait until you are that person's spouse in order to address this, or are you talking about dating?
No. I'm talking about once you're married. And then certain things happen, and we don't know why these things are happening. And then maybe you get the gist that there may have been some sexual abuse in your wife's past. You know what I mean? How would you initiate that conversation, or should they just tell you prior to the marriage?
The ideal situation would be them telling you prior to the marriage. But the honest truth is you probably won't get to that point. Because they're probably trying to think that they can fight through it or work through it, even though they know it's an issue. Then ultimately you end up married and you're with this person. And then it becomes something that is really detrimental to your overall well-being as a married couple. As far as, I don't even know how you would, other than blatantly just coming out and asking it. Because if we're married,
yeah.
I think it would be something that warrants me just being able to really just ask you that question, just straightforward. And I'm not doing it with any ill will or anything that would hopefully be detrimental to us, but I'm sure more than likely it probably will be. But it's just that I would be trying to get to how we can work through it.
Wow. Anybody else? Yeah, I mean, that's touchy. It's a touchy situation. It is touchy. But the thing about it is, I don't know how many listeners we have, but I'm pretty sure someone's spouse or, you know, family member has dealt with it in the past. You know, now, the other question that I want to throw out is, if they don't tell you, is that lying to you?
I don't know if it's necessarily lying to you. It's just it didn't come up. I mean, in the midst of us dating before we get married, or even when we get married, we never have any issues, and it comes up down the line. You know, I don't know if they're necessarily lying to you. You would hope that that would be something that would mention up front so that you would have an opportunity to effectively work together to address it.
Sure.
To be cognizant of the background of this person. Is that you would hope so, but I know that that's probably not going to happen because 9 times out of 10, we're all human beings. So we like to think that we can work through things, and I don't have to tell you something that's in my past. But in this situation with sexual abuse, man, wow. Hey, that could be a rough one.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. And
I think like the clip said, I mean, a lot of people can't handle that. You know, so we often say, yeah, you know, tell me everything or that kind of thing. But a lot of us cannot handle, especially that subject, as you say, Mr. Host. I mean, that's a touchy subject. But
yeah.
A lot of us can't even handle, you know, that in-your-face honesty, you know, regarding this topic.
You know, I think that should be one of the last hurdles you cross before you go jump the broom, because I can tell you from my experience, there's nothing worse than going to a family function, like a family picnic, family reunion style picnic, and someone else telling you, well, your wife never did tell you that, you know, that dude over there, you know, touched her inappropriately when she was little.
Wow.
And, you know, you get hit with that. So, you know, it's best to get those things out, you know, in the open, because you never know. You might be sitting next to someone who did something to your spouse, and you don't even know.
You don't even know. Wow.
I think the part that is that is something that you think about as a spouse that you would hope would happen is before we get married, you give me an opportunity to make a decision whether or not I'm equipped to tackle an issue of this capacity. And what I mean by that is, you know, as the gentleman was just saying, you know, hopefully you come clean. We talk about different things, everything, not just sexual abuse, you know, anything that may be something in the closet that we could work through, because then you give me a chance to work through it and decide if I can handle it. But what hurts is when a person does something and they leave something as prominent as that out of the discussions. And then you get into a marriage or you get into any situation, you're like, wow, you need to give me the chance to decide if I was capable to deal with this or not.
Wow.
I mean, and I think that's with anything. It's like if a person was in a financial situation, they didn't tell you about their financial history. Or if a person, had been locked up and incarcerated and didn't tell you about that. It's like you have to give me an opportunity. Because you can't come at me later and be like, you're not being supportive of this, you're not being supportive of this. Well, how can I be supportive, really, when you didn't give me a chance to be able to express to you whether or not I was even equipped to be supportive? You know what I mean? Like, I mean, you would hope that a person would share that with you. And I know that this is a touchy topic, because in situations of this capacity with sexual assault, people don't really share that stuff readily, especially when you're dating somebody before you get married. But you would think when you're getting to that point of potentially being married, That's one of those things that gotta come up. It's gotta come up.
So brother, would you say that's a deal breaker? You know, you say you already done proposed and making the wedding arrangements and everything, and then it comes up. You know, say you see a movie or something, and or whatever the situation, and she says, oh, by the way, you know, I was sexually abused. Is that a deal breaker?
I don't know if it would necessarily be a deal breaker, but I know one thing, it would be something that would warrant more than just us having that one conversation probably based behind that movie. We would probably need to postpone a few things and make sure that we are both equipped to move forward with this because, you know, as we all know, fellas, the three main things behind divorce is intimacy, finances, and communication. So if you're not communicating with me, that's one thing right there. You just left that out. And then ultimately, probably with the sexual abuse piece, we're probably going to stop being intimate at some point, and I'm not going to know why. So now we got two out of three. That's a rough go. And even, I'm not just saying for women, also with men too. That's a rough go when you got two out of three things that we now aren't doing. And one of them was, we weren't even really probably doing anything all that sexual. All you had to do was just talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about taking this next step with our life together, all you had to do is talk to me. And then give me a chance to say, okay, I'm in, or you know what, I can't handle this. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, you probably would appreciate me a little bit better to be able to say, I'm ill-equipped to be with you in this capacity with something of this caliber, rather than to be in it with you and I give you no support. I mean, that's rough.
That's rough.
So you would say it wouldn't cancel the wedding, but you definitely get a reprint.
Yeah, you know what I would do? It would make me say, you know what, hey, we're about to get married in probably about a year and a half, or we are halfway to being away, we're 6 months out. Now you just dropped this on me. Okay, wait a minute. Maybe we need to backtrack a little bit, get a little bit more counseling with regards to this area and this topic, because I'm ill-equipped. I mean, if this jumps off in year two or year four, or God forbid it's year two, four, six, eight, every 2 years we going through this, because every time we go to that family reunion, you see Uncle Bob over there who did such and such to you, because Bob's still going to be there. I mean, that's crazy. You know what I mean? And I'm not equipped for that. So I would hope that you would just say, hey, okay, we talking about taking this next step. You know, on the day that I get down on the knee and say, you know, I'd like for you to spend your life with me. Okay, you know what, I'd really want to be with you, but I feel there's a few things that we might need to discuss. Because I want to make sure that you still are wanting to be with me with all the things that encompass me. Because there's certain things that I just don't think you pull out of nowhere on somebody. How can you deal with that? I mean, I just don't know how you could deal with that.
And maybe that's the hesitation, you know, with telling you, is because maybe she told the dude before you, and like you said, he was ill-equipped, so he rolled out. So maybe
then that means you trapped me. You set me up. So now we got to deal with the 2, 4, 6. To deal with the 2, 4, 6, 8 year problem every time we go to a family reunion, and then you ain't communicate with me. We're not being intimate with each other. Now you my wife. I'm supposed to depend on you for all of this. I didn't get a chance to get equipped with the resources to be able to support you. That's a lot to take on. That's heavy.
That's heavy.
And all I'm saying is that in this situation, in an ideal world, I'm not saying this is not an ideal world, but in an ideal world, man or female, with something regarding sexual abuse, you gotta bring that up. Because it gives a person to, one, it allows you, the person that's revealing or disclosing this information, to maybe for yourself see if this person is the right person. Are they going to be there to support you in a time like this? Are they going to be there? Versus you getting a marriage and it comes out of nowhere because you ain't had sex in 2 years because of something that's happened or they remembered, and you don't even know why. I mean, I guess I'd take it as the fact that I would want to be able to have an opportunity to decide for both of us. If I'm going to love you, to decide for both of us if I'm equipped. Men do that all the time. You know, women say, why you haven't proposed to me? Why are we not getting married? Men will say, look, I'm not where I need to be in life in order to be able to support you financially, and I don't want to put either one of us in that situation. That's honest. Now, I'm not saying every man uses that correct. Some men might be lying because they just don't want to take that next step, but when men use that and it's because of that and it's honest, that's upfront. That's honest. I'm not going to marry you and have us living from paycheck to paycheck, or you wondering when we're going to do this, or if I'm going to hold down a job. I don't want to do that. I love you too much. Same thing with this. If you love me, give me an opportunity to be able to say, can I support you in the manner that I'm going to need to? Don't just throw it on me. especially when all of a sudden out of nowhere I'm wondering, wow, I can't touch her no more. What in the world?
Mm-hmm.
And then I got to speculate? Because that's even worse. I got to assume now what's going on. So are you cheating on me? Because you ain't communicating with me, so now I got to assume. Are you cheating on me? Is it something I did? I mean, my mind's going crazy, but you ain't telling me nothing. When you could have just shared it up front with me? And I know this might sound, when we play this back, this might sound insensitive, but all I'm saying is give a person an opportunity to be able to equip themselves or to share with you that they are ill-equipped to take that step in a situation of this magnitude. That's all I'm saying.
And you mentioned something key, which is the word support. Do you think that something of this magnitude, when it, you know, dealing with sexual abuse on either side, do you think that someone should carry the load by themselves, or should they reach out for their spouse or potential spouse for support in this area?
I would think that you would reach out for support, because that's the whole point behind a marriage, is a partnership. You don't have to bear it alone. We're going to do it together.
Yeah.
And if you give me an opportunity, because there might be some cats that say, you know what, I ain't doing it. I'm not down for this. After you told me this and I heard the story and what happened, no, 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 I don't want that. There might be some. But there's going to be many more that say, you know what, that's all in the past. I love you. I want to be with you. And I'm going to be right here. But at this time, maybe we need to seek additional counseling, which is bigger than just going to a minister. It may be going actually to a clinic or some professional person, psychologist, whatever it may be, in order to make sure that I'm equipped and you're equipped for us to take this step. Because you probably are going to have some instances where you have a lapse or something brings it back. But I want to know what to do. Because there's nothing worse for me to do than for something to happen and you have you remember something, it jogs your memory, it impacts us, and I'm just ignorant to what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Even worse. And that's what I'm saying is, like, you got to share this stuff, because if I'm ignorant to not know what to do, I make it even worse. Because I'm saying, what the fuck is, oh, sorry, what's wrong with you? What's this? What's that? And I'm badgering you, and I'm doing all this stuff, and that's not going to make you want to share stuff with me.
Well, I know a young lady that I used to work with. She went out on a series of dates with a guy. She was really feeling him. And then all of a sudden the dude told her that he was sexually abused. And she cut everything off because she felt like, you know what, I have a daughter. And, you know, statistically there's a chance that he may, you know, do something to my daughter. So, you know, it's not even worth pursuing. So that was
wow.
a good one.
Wow. That's
and at least he was honest and upfront about it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you could look at that one or two ways, you know, because statistics do show that you know, people who have been sexually abused unfortunately do repeat the act, and that's only because, you know, what they been through themselves, is like the brother said, I mean, you got to dig deep and do some counseling in the area just to deny that those urges and everything, and to, you know, keep everything above board. But I mean, you could look at her in two different ways, that, you know, yes, she was, you know, protecting herself and protecting her daughter. But at the same token, you know, the dude, you know, and I don't know, you know, back to the host's original question, you know, the dude, after a series of dates, he was honest and upfront, said, hey, you know, by the way, before we go any further, I was sexually abused. And she's like, well, all right, that's it. You know, nice knowing you. Have a good life. You know, and I'm sure he was like, what? I mean, I thought everything was going good. That's why I'm sure I would probably figure that he wouldn't open up with something like that, you know, if it wasn't going anywhere, and for her to just cut it off, you know, it was kind of, I'm sure, probably took him by surprise.
Yeah, probably did.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and some would argue that it might have been a little insensitive too, I think. But the other question is, you know, what if her defense was, your wife's defense was, that she couldn't trust you with that information? Would that give her an out? Like she said,
nah.
You know, no, okay.
No, that wasn't going out, because she didn't even, you know, this is my ex. She didn't even give me a chance to explain to her how I felt about something like that. So, you know, of course, there was some static at that event when I found that out. And basically, I could never be around that dude again.
Sure.
You know, because of what he did. So, you know, she didn't even know how I would react because we've never talked about it.
Yeah, and you know, and then I think in the back of your mind you can't help but think, what's next?
Yeah.
What else do I not
know? Who else did something? You know, that was my
You know what I mean? What other bombs you gonna drop on me?
What about? And who didn't do anything when you told them when you were little? Point them out too.
Yeah.
And would y'all say that a woman who has been sexually abused, would y'all say that men consider them damaged goods?
No.
Yes.
I mean, I don't.
I think it's true.
I think it depends on the individual, but yeah, because I think the term, here's the thing. This is going to sound like a horrible comparison, but it's the only thing I got right now that's coming off the top of my mind. You said damaged goods.
Yes.
Okay. Would they consider it damaged goods? Probably, yes. It's damaged goods because there's a lot of stuff that goes along with that. But the only thing I can compare it to is a scratch and dent store. It may be scratched and dent, but you're still going to purchase it because it works well. There's nothing wrong with the fact that it has a scratch across the backside that is going to be against the wall anyway that no one sees. So, yes, they might be damaged goods, but it doesn't mean that you still don't want to spend time with that person or be with them if you're provided with the ample opportunity to decide if you are equipped to be able to work with it. If you can deal with the scratch being on the back of the refrigerator and that's against the wall and nobody knows but you and the person that was with you when you bought it, but it looks great, you're going to buy it. You're going to go with it. But it's still damaged goods.
So you're
it was still at the scratch and dent store.
You're saying that if you buy it at the scratch and dent store, and you know it's got some scratches and dents, just like any woman. But then you get it home and you're setting it up, and then you see another like major scratch. I mean, it's like, whoa! I didn't see this at the store, but I've already purchased it. I've already got it home.
Well, see, that's the problem. That's the problem. But see, in this situation, what you would hope is that this person is disclosing this stuff. I think that any person, and it's just a horrible term, any person that has been sexually abused or anything traumatic within their life or their experiences, yeah, everybody's got some baggage with them. I don't want to use damaged goods because that's kind of rough. But everybody's got baggage with them. The point is that just show me the baggage. Tell me what the baggage is. Let me know what we're working with. You know what I'm saying? It's like when you think about the whole concept of baggage when you're going on a plane, they ask you to put your bag on the scale so they know what they're working with. They want you to put it on the scale so they know if it meets 50 pounds or if it's more. If it's more, doesn't mean your bag ain't going on the plane. It just means we got to charge you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's no different than that when you think about other things. Look, you can decide whether or not you want to open your bag up at the counter and take 5 pounds out and try to make it, or you can decide, you know what, bump it. I want my stuff to go. I'm paying the money. Same thing with this. Just disclose. We need the scale to be on the outside with regards to all the things that have affected the person that you're looking to spend your life with. And you would hope that when you're looking to make that next step, that they will feel comfortable enough to hopefully disclose that. Because that's rough. You know how big that would be to get on the plane and then all of a sudden you're on the plane and they never had a scale. So some people got 100-pound bags, some people got 300-pound bags, some people got 2-pound bags, some people just have carry-ons. And then the air mass dropped down and all this stuff because the plane's about to go down. You don't want that disclosed at the last moment. You're about to crash. We want an opportunity to know what's going on. And that's the whole point behind that weigh-in and all that stuff. Yeah, they need to make money with the economy and all that stuff too. But the basic premise is to make sure that it's not another situation, God rest her soul, like Aaliyah and them in the Bahamas with too much stuff on the damn plane and it crashed. I mean, it's the same thing. You got to have an opportunity to have that scale up front. And the scale in this situation is communication. Just tell me what's going on. Give me a chance to decide whether or not I'm equipped or even if I want to get equipped.
Yeah.
So
and then let's move forward.
Is it up to us to get that information, or should we just totally leave it up to the woman to disclose what she needs to disclose? What I mean is it up to us to probe the area and say, hey, let's just talk about sexual abuse, on this date or whatever. I mean, is it up to us or should we leave it up to the woman to bring it up if that is applicable.
I think you need to bring it up. I think the man, and I'm not saying right at the beginning, but somewhere in the relationship early, you should be bringing that up. I mean, and I'll use myself as an example. It was a young lady I was dating in college that come to find out when we were just talking, she broke down and told me that she was date raped before. And that changed my whole aspect. Now, she, you know, once we got to talking, she said she didn't want to tell me because she knew it was going to change the way I looked at her, touched her, whatever. But it was something that was very serious. And it took a while for her to break down that barrier to just feel comfortable around a man.
But how did you respond to that? I mean, were you...
For a minute, I was timid. I mean, no lie. It was like, okay, I need to fall back. Maybe I'm going too fast. Maybe, you know, I need to try things a different way. And then you start asking more questions. Is this okay? You know, can I touch you here? Those things where you usually wouldn't do it with another person, your mind thought is different now.
So, guys, I hate to take a small break. This is Rodney from WLLL. This conversation is great. Great information. We're going to take a commercial break, and we'll be right back. So we certainly appreciate all of the great comments. Again, could you tell our listening audience how to log on and how to get in contact with householdstress.com?
Yes, you dial in 724-444-7444. Code 59898#.
Okay, go ahead and tell them again, because sometimes, you know, you when you listen to radio, you may be in your car and you can't really tell, you know, they drive and whatnot. So go ahead and tell them that information one more time.
724-444-7444, code 59898#.
And the topic of tonight's topic, what's the topic?
Victoria's Secret Sexual Abuse Before Marriage.
All right. So, man, T-Hawk in Maryland, and we're just doing a little talking, just throwing it out there to some different men. All men call. No women can call. What you kind of got to give me the rules to the game a little bit so they'll know. Go ahead,
yeah,
Tony.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And if you can mute on, just mute out and do that, because I got to keep this call going.
Okay.
But Patrice, good point, man. Good point. And that was a question I had also for you. You know, you said you got a little timid.
Yeah.
Did you still go full force, or, I mean, after a while, or did y'all just do something different?
No, I mean, after a while, we became comfortable with each other, but it took a little longer.
Oh.
You know, the simple game took a little longer than normal.
Good word. But you kind of appreciate her for telling you that. Up front.
I did, because then I went through college understanding that.
Yeah. Now, we talked earlier, somebody mentioned about damaged goods. And again, damage is such a horrible word in this scenario, but there is damage. I think there's a lot of damage done with sexual abuse. You know, so I wish there was a better word for it, and I'm not just going to say damaged goods, but there is some damage done. And just like one brother said, you know, you can go home and figure out if you can deal with it or not, but the fact is you don't know what's coming up next.
And I think it's an ongoing process because, you know, maybe initially, you can handle it and, you work through it, and you think you've gotten past it, but it resurfaces. It's almost like cancer.
Yeah.
You know, you can beat cancer, you know, and then it can resurface in other areas of your body, or it can, come back up. You know, it can go into some, you know, remission, and then it can come back up. So I think that when that is put on the table, when it is the notification is given, I think that, as the brother said earlier, that's some baggage that you're going to have to carry all the way out, you know,
you know, through the end of your relationship. That's not something where you're going to be able to, you know, just not have that. It's always going to be there. You know, sometimes it may be more prevalent than others, but you have to realize that that is going to be something that you're going to be dealing with as long as you're dealing with that woman.
And see, I think people are happy to take that on, you know, if it's disclosed appropriately and if you give me a chance to be able to equip myself to learn. You know, you made the comparison to cancer, but in this situation, you know, cancer is not contagious. You know, but in this situation, if you leave me in the dark and all of a sudden this pops up out of nowhere and then you finally share it with me, well, you put this cancer on me now. And you didn't give me a chance to be able to figure out what I needed to do to first help you, let alone be able to work through whatever's going on with me. Because the fact of it is that that's not just going to impact one person. You know, when you think about marriage and your spouse and these things are disclosed, I mean, it's not just going to impact me and my spouse. Let's say it's me and my wife. That's going to impact maybe how she approaches and interacts with, if we have little girls, if we have little boys, how she sees them dating when they get to dating age. I mean, it's like all these things that, wow, out of nowhere, you know, it could surface up. You know what? We could make it all the way through until we have our first daughter about to go to prom or go on a date to the 8th grade dance or something. And then all of a sudden, bam,
mm-hmm.
she just, we don't know what's going on, but she's just adamant that she's not going and she's not doing this and this will not happen. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Where is this coming from?
Wow.
Now it just ain't impacting her life. It's impacting other lives.
Wow.
And I can't, now I got two people in the house, so not only do I have to be supportive of or try to figure out how to support my wife in this situation, who is the person that went through the abuse, but now I've got to somehow be the midway point, the mediator, because my daughter wants to go to the 8th grade dance or to the prom, but mom is acting whatever way because boys are this, that, and the other, and she can't, and now I'm in the middle of a firestorm. And that's the not being equipped that I'm talking about. And it's not just with women. Men, same way. Same way. I mean, it could be me as the husband in the relationship that was sexually abused by an uncle who now all of a sudden, you know, ain't no men, not now one man going to get close to my children. And my wife doesn't understand why her brother can't babysit or her brother can't have little Tiffany or little Jason sit on his lap when the kid is two. I mean, if I don't disclose that, I'm putting them in a firestorm. That's horrible. And I just think that in that situation, I know it would be difficult to be able to articulate it and to bring it up. I don't know how you would even do it, but you got to do it. You got to do it. I think it's on you. If you're going to marry somebody and it's about being head of household and being a Christian or just, I don't put Christianity in, you're just going to be a good person. The golden rule. Would you want somebody to spring something like that on you and you don't have not nair bit of training for that? Nothing.
Okay. Hey, Mayman, I need you to rewind what you just said because we're getting ready to go back on live.
Okay.
That was perfect, dude. All right, we're back with Head of Household right here this afternoon, this evening, that's right, on WLLL, and we're going to continue our conversation. It was just heating up. My man, go ahead.
Well, all I was saying is that it's a situation where anything of this capacity, such as sexual abuse, needs to be disclosed. And the reason for that is because the impact doesn't just basically affect the person that you're in a marriage with. It also impacts all the other lives. So a good example of that would be if you have a daughter and she's about to go to the 8th grade dance or the prom or something, and it's never surfaced, it's never come out anywhere that sexual abuse had occurred with your wife. But all of a sudden now your wife is very adamant that no one is going to take her to a dance. She will not date. Boys will not do this. These people will not be coming to this house. And all these situations, you then are ill-equipped to be able to first interact and do the things necessary with your wife, but then secondly, to be able to mediate the situation because your daughter is now going to be like, what is this about? Why is mom tripping? Mom's married. I'm here, obviously, and we know how I got here and how that worked. Where is this coming from?
Yeah,
and not just thinking about stuff surrounding women either. It's also stuff with men. If I'm the husband in the relationship and I've been sexually abused, and all of a sudden now I want to be able to vocalize, or I bring out of nowhere the fact that I don't want any of our children sitting with any men or being next to any men in any capacity. So if my wife has a brother, they can't even babysit. I don't want my kids on their lap, nothing. I don't even want them around granddad. My wife doesn't know where that's coming from.
Well, let me ask you this, brother, just going back to disclosure, proper disclosure. What would you suggest as far as, say, in your example you gave that, you know, you were, in your example, it's a hypothetical that you were sexually abused. What kind of time frame would you say that you should disclose this information to your lady friend? Would you just throw a general time frame just before you walk down the aisle, or would you say within a certain amount of time when y'all meet and start, you know, just going down that road towards a monogamous relationship?
Again, I'm going to be honest with you. That piece, I don't know when it comes out. I don't know if there's a perfect time or if there's a right time. I just know that after you get married is not it, because you back somebody into a situation that, here's the thing. If you're not married and you bring it up and a person could just walk away because you two people that basically just got an agreement of, are we being monogamous, we dating each other, nobody else, blah, 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 whatever.
Right.
But when you get in a marriage, if somebody's ill-equipped and can't take it, what do you think they're going to do?
It will cause a whole lot of conflict if you wait too late.
Yeah, it's going to cause a lot of conflict because here's the thing. Even if we married and I share it with her after the fact, and it, all of a sudden, I mean, because this happens with men too, I might not want to have sex. I might not want to do anything.
Yeah.
Right.
But that might be what she wants, because that's a huge part of making that emotional connection and intimate connection with the woman who is your spouse. So all of a sudden, this comes out of nowhere for her. And that's a huge part of, again, there's three main core things to divorce: intimacy, finances, and communication. So now all of a sudden, we ain't intimate no more. And I didn't share it with her, so again, that's two out of three.
Yeah.
She might deal with it for a while, but then ultimately, at a certain point, she might say, yo, I'm not equipped for this. I love you, but I got to go. So then I'm divorced. So I just would say that it needs to be at some point before you get married, so that a person can basically be able to figure out before lives get intertwined and finances and names and estates and resources and all types of stuff just get intertwined. Just bring it up and let a person decide if they can deal or not. That's all it is. It's not a bad thing. It's not
yeah.
a bad thing, because what it does is two things. One, it gives the person that is being shared with an opportunity to disclose to you whether or not they can do it or not. And two, it gives you, the person that's disclosing, an opportunity to be able to say, you know what? This person isn't going to be able to support me in the capacity that I need, so I don't need to spend the rest of my life with them. I don't need to be subjected to them badgering me, not understanding, not being supportive, and making me feel even worse.
Yeah.
Because that's the key. I think that would be the one thing. I know I've talked a lot, fellas, and I appreciate your patience with me, but that would be the one thing that I would say to a person that's been abused or anything that they're bringing that may be baggage. You don't want to be in a situation with somebody that can't support you to the degree that you need it. So disclose it.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. If you disclose it, they can support you. They will let you know. You will learn about that person. You'll see who they are. But you don't want to be married to somebody, and then all of a sudden, this person's supposed to be your spouse, and they ain't coming home no more. Or
and
they don't want nothing to do with you. Or they're starting to do other stuff, and then you end up divorced. That's going to make you feel even worse.
Yep.
Right, because you're going to expect them to do something. That woman, your spouse, is going to expect you to help her out.
Yeah.
And you got to still, then, at that point in time, a man would still have to go through his emotional shockness of, wow, this has happened to my wife. I'm supposed to be a protective provider. She didn't even tell me this. She disclosed this from me. So now you got your guard up and defense because you're pissed off because she left it from you. And you never got to the root cause of the reason why.
Exactly. Exactly.
And then it's like your inherited baggage. Now you own
right.
it.
Yeah. And now you inherited. You knew about the other baggage, the low credit score, and you're gonna have to take over some of these credit cards and loans, and you know about that. But what you didn't know about it was this abuse that happened in your lifetime. But you know, I read something. I can't remember where I read it. It was a while back. But in this article, it said that over 60% of women are abused in their lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And they disclose it because of the fear how a man is going to react to them, due to the fact that they don't think that they will respect them or look at them the same.
Wow.
I guess I just look at it this way, fellas. I mean, I talked about my mom a lot, you know, being from a single-parent home and all the things that she's instilled in me for me to be the man that I am today. It's this simple. My mother used to say this to me all the time. If you share with me what's going on, I'm best equipped to be able to help you. If you keep me in the know, I can help you. But when you don't let me know what's happening, there's not much I can do. There's not much I can do. I'm trying to work through it as you are disclosing it at that moment. You know, and she shared this with me when I got in trouble. I remember third grade, forged the teacher's signature on a document, got called to the principal's office. I'm sitting up there. My mom's at the school. She's all upset. And in the midst of me being afraid of what she was going to do to me, and she did it to me. I just want y'all to know, she did get me. she calmly said to me as the principal walked out to get the document or whatever, "Babe, when you don't share with me what's going on, I can't help you.
I can't help you.
I can't help you." She's like, "I'm sitting here right now, and I'm trying to figure out how to help you and work through this, but they done already figured out what they're going to do because they knew before I knew."
Mm.
So it's no different. All I'm saying is you got to take the time to give a person to decide or get equipped. That's all I'm saying. Because if I'm not equipped, I mean, man, I can make you feel horrible. And it's not your – and here's the thing. I don't know if I would deliberately be doing it. But, I mean, the fact that I may be disconnected and might not want to talk to you for a minute. I mean, you know, it's because I'm taking all this in. You just put a brick on my chest. But you may take it as, wow, he doesn't want to touch me. He doesn't want to do anything with me. He's disgusted with me. Well, no, I'm not disgusted with you. It's just that, wow, we've been married for – 13 years of our daughter's 8th grade dance, and now all this is coming out. Wow. You know? Wow.
Good words.
Let me throw a question out there. Is it detrimental to a marriage if you find out that your wife, your present wife, had her tubes tied and didn't tell you?
Oh, gosh. Oh, man. God. I got to shut up.
You got to put an age limit on that question. You got to put an age limit on that question. Because if you're talking to somebody who's 40, it doesn't matter. You
right.
don't want no kids anyway.
Exactly.
But if you're talking about somebody who's probably in their 20s and they married with a guy who's never had a child, and he's been falling for this love and his emotions are in it, now you got a situation.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, fellas, but I think a lot of guys, they meet women, and she will disclose it. You know, she will disclose, hey, you know, and she may already have children or whatever, and she is, you know, maybe she's past the childbearing age anyway. But anyway, what I'm saying is that I know a lot of guys say, oh, you know, I don't mind. I'm just like, they're lying. They're absolutely lying. And, you know, all of us on here, we have children of our own. And it's just something about that, having your own biological children. I mean, it's nothing. You can't, you know, you can't explain it. So, but most guys, just to keep the girl, you know, initially, who knows whether it works out or not. But, you know, she discloses that, hey, you know, I've had my tubes tied. I've got 1, 2, 3 children already. I don't plan on having any other children. Is that cool with you? And what do the guys say? Oh, yeah, that's great. You know, I could just, you know, be their stepdad. You know, it's like, man, you lying. You know you want kids of your own.
Yeah. And I get that, but let's just say no, they're of the childbearing age and you're trying to have kids and she's not getting pregnant. And you're like, man, what is the problem? And then, you know, maybe by the doctor coming in or some third party says, well, you know you got your tube tied, and you find out that way.
Did that happen before you were married or during?
It happened before you were married.
Okay.
Before you were married. And I throw the question out there because some people will say that that's a deal breaker, correct?
Right, right. It's on that level. It's close.
It's close. It's close. It's close.
Mm-hmm.
It's close. It's close. So in that comparison, I mean, a deal breaker is something that could actually lead to divorce, to the demise of your marriage. And I'm thinking sexual abuse not being disclosed can also lead to the demise of your marriage as well when certain things stop happening that were happening. Certain things start to be triggered, and you don't know why. And then she's getting distance. I mean, we had a guy on this call before that slept in the basement of his marriage for a total year because of sexual or just abuse that came up in the wife's past marriage. You see what I'm saying? So, again, you know, I like to revisit that non-disclosure of sexual abuse being a deal breaker.
Yeah, I just, you know, I'll be honest that I think that the getting the tubes tied is actually worse, not disclosing that, than the sexual abuse. I mean, I may be the only one to think that, but I think it'll be harder to roll out if you found out that she was abused and through no fault of her own versus you finding out, you know, that she got her tubes tied through, you know, through her actions. You know, she's like, yeah, she made the appointment or, you know, signed the doctor's note or the surgical slip or whatever the case may be versus sexual abuse. So I think that, you know, you look at, you know, going back to your question, you look at, you know, you're dating this woman and y'all plan to have a family. And then, like you say, you know, y'all trying to get pregnant. And it's like, it's nothing happening. It's like, what's going on? And she's like, oh, yeah, I had my tubes tied. We can't have a family. You know, or we can only have the family that already exists if there is, you know, children and everything. Or maybe there are not any children. You know, but I think that, to me, I think it's worse to you know, for the comparison to the tubes tied is worse than sexual abuse. That's just me.
Because that's pretty much straight deception, right? Pretty much.
Yeah, and I don't think the sexual abuse is purposeful deception. Like I say, I mean, we've all, you know, heard examples where, you know, the people rolled out. You know, the information was disclosed, and it's like, well, that's the end of our relationship. You know, good knowing you. So I think that that's the hesitation, and, it, you know, rightfully so, because, as we say, everybody's not equipped to handle that. And like the brother said earlier, just give me a chance, you know, to be equipped. But, you know, it's like a roll of the dice. You know, you can roll the dice and say, hey, you know, let me roll this on you, and, you know, but half of the guys or gals leave, you know, the situation. So it's like, hey, you know, I just keep it to myself until, unfortunately, then it's, as the brother said, maybe you're trapped in a situation where you can't leave. You know, y'all done been married 4 years, you know, then it comes up.
Yeah, and that leads into a good point. That leads into a good point because it may come up. And it all depends on how long you stay married to this person. It's going to come up because you're going to have issues. I mean, in marriages where there is no prior sexual abuse, we have issues.
Yeah.
You know, but in that, I would think that you might have deeper issues. You know, so once it comes up, let's just say this therapy, you go talk to your therapist or marriage counselor, whatever the case may be, and you go in one room and she goes in the other room, and then bam, it comes out.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And now it comes out, and that's how you find out, you know. And you're compassionate because you love this woman, but what's next?
Yeah,
you know, just like the brother, exactly.
You know?
Just like the brother said, I may not be equipped to handle this.
Well, what's next is me then taking, if I'm finding out something from my spouse or future spouse, is then me basically being allowed and afforded the time to reflect personally on what I'm going to be able to do.
Right.
Because that would be just fine. That would be right. That should be expected for me to be able to take some time and reflect to see if I want to continue to take the steps to get equipped or if I decide to walk away. Either way, I'm not wrong. Because what I'm doing is I'm focusing first on my ability to be completely what you need or my inability to be
completely what you need. There's nothing wrong with that. But just give me a chance. I don't know what the next steps would be specifically, but it would really be starting with, okay, I just got this information. Wow, okay. I need some time. Walk away and just be with me and my thoughts to pray to my God, to talk to my advisory team, to take my walk around the lake, to do whatever I need to do in order to get myself figured out to what my next steps are. But you have to give me that chance. And the two-tied one, I mean, that's just horrible that you would put somebody in a situation where you're not getting – because I think the biggest thing for me when I think about this topic and these questions and these scenarios is just give me a chance.
Yeah.
To say if I want to opt in or opt out. That's all it is. Just give me a chance. Don't keep me in the dark because you feel that I'm going to run.
Yeah.
Because if that's what you do, then you're trapping me. You're leading me on. That's false premise. You're doing all of the above. That's what you're doing. Give me a chance to think for myself, to use my own values, my own feelings, emotions, thoughts, support systems to figure out what I want to do. Don't decide it for me because that's going to make it worse. Because then I got to sit here and say, you just left out a huge portion of what a marriage, a relationship, or, a family is about, especially with the two-tied piece. I mean, wow. I mean, we probably talked about it, and even if we did talk about it, and say, yeah, you know, we don't want any kids. We're not going to have any. I mean, stuff like that gets readdressed. You revisit stuff like that at certain points. Well, yeah, you know what? More and more I think about it, you know, okay, we've got two that are 1 to 10 and 1 to 5. I would, you know, maybe we could do another one. Maybe we could. And you readdress it, but you collectively discuss it as a couple, as a group. When one person just makes a decision, that's horrible. So when it comes out, give me a chance to be able to take whatever I need. Whatever I need in order to be able to come back. Because if I come back, this is the magic of it. If I come back, it means that I love you. It means that I'm going to work through this. It means that I'm going to equip myself to be the best I can. It means that whatever happened to you, I don't care. I want to be with you. But when you trap me, wow. Wow. That's
okay.
That's not cool.
Okay. Okay. And I like where you're going. I do. Because you said the word trap, right? Now, we can look at it a total different way, right? We could say, okay, she lied to me, right, because she loved me and wanted to marry me so much that she didn't want anything to get in the way of that mission, so that's why she didn't tell me. She was afraid that we would never get married. But that's still selfish.
That's still a lie.
Right, but she's trying to protect her in the relationship. She's trying to protect his feelings and not worry about.
How are you protecting my feelings when I find it out anyway? My feelings are still shattered. You didn't protect them. You delayed the shattering.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I'll say this: that maybe she knew that you weren't mature enough to handle it.
Let me finish.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. But if you going into a marriage and a woman's already having issues with you being the head of household and not being able to take something, you running into problems right there at the beginning.
Yeah, right.
Go ahead.
I think you have to keep this as a well-balanced conversation. So, I mean, because some of us may be on the phone, but I'll just say men in general so no one just thinks that I'm talking about them and then they slash out at me. But but can't we, I think we could be honest, at least with saying men have also kept things that could have been a deal breaker for her to stay in that relationship and to be able to get married and do whatever. And I know what you might say. You might say, well, that's a whole different story because she has a tube tie. But at the same time, let's keep in mind that you have your tubes tied. Tubes can be untied, too, if there's no cutting involved.
Yeah.
And you can still have a baby.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not completely a deal breaker. I don't see that as complete deal breaker because she had something before she met you and she didn't tell you. Granted, that lie, like that someone was just starting to mention, you know, that lie, the trust factor, the relationship starts out wrong. Doesn't mean it ends up wrong, but it definitely means it starts out wrong. But again, if that's brought to the table, let's just say it was the tubes tied and the tubes are untied, you have kids because people mature, they think differently later on in life as opposed to, you know, at 22 years old, I don't want to have kids, I want to do my career or whatever, and then later at, you know, 30 or 28, whatever, you say, well, you know what, I would like to have our own kids, et cetera, et cetera. So that, you know, that thing can happen, but I wanted to really keep a balanced.
Sure.
I think we should at least keep a balanced conversation and saying, wait a minute now, you know, women ain't the only ones that keep some secrets and make deal breakers, so to speak, and you know, we get our feelings hurt, but we have our own little things. There's a lot of things that we haven't said about secret stash yet. A lot of things we haven't said about exes that are supposed to be quote unquote friends. We never told them that we actually dated. We just friends.
Mm-hmm. And
you know.
And thank you, for for that. And we do want to keep this conversation balanced, and I'm getting ready to balance it a little bit more. Please hold on for a second. I have another clip that I want to play.
I want to ask you about that, and you probably knew when you finally talked about this that it was going to come out in the media, and this was very uncomfortable. It was very unsettling for me to read about because I remember you a certain way. Your fans remember you a certain way, but you reveal that you were sexually abused by a coach, and here's how you put it in your own words, and I got to tell you, I cringe when I read this, Ray. You say, before I knew it, he had unzipped my pants and put his hands and mouth on an area that has haunted me for life. I didn't scream. I didn't look at him. I just opened the door and ran. Now, you had to know that this was a subject that was going to get a lot of attention when this book came out. Are you okay with that right now? And why did you include this? And has this been therapeutic for you?
I had to get that out because it was killing me. I was dying inside. I told no one. I kept this to myself for 30-some years. I said it to my first wife, Juanita, but I said it under the influence of alcohol because a guy don't talk about those things, it's especially me as a fighter. You know, I could have kicked their butts, but I didn't. It was hard. It was hard. It was killing me. And I'm so glad that that I'm releasing this. As painful as it is, it's okay. I learned to surrender through my program. I'll be sober 5 years in July. You know, and that's my that is indeed my biggest accomplishment.
Agreed. And
wow. Now, that's a dude, and Sugar Ray Leonard. We all know him. We watched him fight, you know, and he got married after being sexually assaulted, and he's kept it in for a long time. Now, what about us as men? How would our wives be prepared to deal with that if it came out 30 years later, 10 years later, 5 years later? We're big macho men. We don't talk about that kind of stuff. Because just like you said, you know, women may be damaged goods, but what would we be considered? That we got punked? I mean, what would it be called? And how could we equip them to better, I guess, counsel us or be strong for us at that point?
And I think you hit the nail on the head because it does affect your manhood. And, you know, literally, we probably have some guys on the show right now that's been sexually abused. I mean, real talk. And it's not something that you just want to jump out there and say, yeah, you know, I was sexually abused. And I commend the brother told a story of, you know, the brother that he knew that told the young lady, say, hey, you know, by the way, I was sexually abused. I mean, that's like manning up, you know, because it does. And you're talking about Sugar Ray Leonard, that dude that knocked out a whole lot of people, you know. And, you know, for that to happen to him, You know, it goes to show you that this subject we're talking about, it can happen to anybody, any situation. You know, so it's not, and nobody's exempt, you know. But I think, back to your question, it does affect our manhood because it makes us seem like we're weak, you know, or that we were a punk or a wimp or couldn't fight them off or whatever the case may be. And that's not something you want to broach, you know, with your lady, you know, because I'm sure she's thinking the same thing. Like, man, you a little punk. It's like, but this is Sugar Ray. You know, he done knocked out a lot of dudes.
Yeah.
But again, I mean, to keep it balanced, as we talked about earlier, and obviously we're keeping it balanced right now with the scenario with it being a guy. Again, it's on this man to be able to share that early enough within the relationship to then give this woman an opportunity to decide if she's equipped or wants to be equipped. It doesn't matter who's been through whatever it may be. It's just whomever has been through it, giving the other person adequate or ample opportunity to decide and make a decision as to what they want to do. Because it's just heavy. I mean, yeah, okay, so he shares this, it's 30 years later, blah, 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 he's been married, got it. But I mean, if she were to dip after 30 years, she might be entitled to that. Who are we to judge her to say that that's wrong? Because she may feel that that is a huge thing, because I'm sure that him just disclosing it 30 years later, there were things along that 30 years that probably had her wondering, questioning, what is going on? What is he doing? Why is this happening? That when she now looks back at those 30 years, it makes sense. Whether it was going out there and just getting with a whole lot of women to really prove that he was macho, whether it was not being intimate with her in certain situations, whether it was being isolated and not being in conversations or at certain events, whether it was, drowning himself in alcohol and drugs or whatever, it all makes sense now. But the fact is that to have to find that out after the fact and to go through that for 30 years with probably kids and family members and friends and financial gains and losses, that's messed up. Bottom line, doesn't matter if you're a woman or a man.
Or like, you know, like I said, that's why he might have been knocking dudes out, you know, to prove that he was macho.
Exactly.
I want to tie this to what I was going to say earlier.
Well, no. And Rodney, real quick, that happened while he was a boxer.
What?
Yes.
Yeah, it happened when he was in the
60s. He was a teenage boxer. He was already en route to being.
What? Did not know that.
One of his trainers.
One of his trainers?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, come on.
Which was in the 15 when he was going to the Golden Gloves. But I wonder, can I throw a small monkey wrench in there?
Do you think?
My thought on this, and I'm listening to everybody's conversation, and one thing that I brought up is reason why a lot of people wait so long is because society rewards not the victim, but the person who did the actual crime. And I say that in what we've seen in this past year with folks in church. These pastors, these priests, these bishops, these guys, they hold it in for so long that when it comes out, you know, the person who did it, they get a smack on the wrist.
Yeah,
and this guy now is embarrassed because he's put his business out there in the street. And now everybody's looking at him different because the other pastors, priests, bishops, they just get a smack on the wrist and they get to keep the jobs and everything.
Yeah, I wouldn't go as far as to say that society rewards them, but I would say that, you know, it is in a lot of instances excused. And I would also say that to tie back to what I was going to say regarding and also tie back to what Rodney was saying, with the and tying it back to what P was saying about being trapped, literally, there are some things that our wives hold for us and release after we're married. And I think that we do that as well. There are some things, I mean, if we were to be honest, there are some things that you held that you didn't reveal until she was your wife.
Sure.
You know, and I think that that's what I was, you know, I think Rodney touched on that as well. But, so it's not, you can't, I understand, you know, what we're talking about here, but you can't say that, oh, you know, all everything got to be on the table disclosed before, you know, marriage. And I don't think that the marriage is starting out in the wrong way, because she may be holding something from you, or you may be holding something from her, just for the simple fact that you won't be equipped to handle it until you have that husband title, or she won't be equipped to handle it until she has the wife title, because there's more at stake at that point.
No, I got to disagree with you.
I don't say it's right, but I think that's why it happens, you know, because you just like you said, P, you can walk away if y'all just dating, you know, y'all doing the wedding invitations, you know, you gone. But when she's your wife,
then it just delays it a little bit. I mean, I guess a better example of that is all of a sudden I'd have gone through the academy, right, and they keeping away from me the fact that murders happen on the street when I'm working the midnight shift as a cop. And all of a sudden I'm out on the street now. And just because I got the badge and the uniform, now they tell me that murders happen. So I'm magically equipped to handle it, but we never went over it in the academy. That makes no sense.
Is it a possibility that an individual feels like that they have overcome whatever took place to them or chose to oppress it or what have you, feel like they've dealt with it and it's over, not even acknowledging or recognizing that some of their actions, their anger or what have you, the way they deal with people sexually or what have you, doesn't stem from that. They don't even realize some of the things that they're doing.
Sure.
So with that being said and coming into the relationship, they don't even feel it's important to bring it up. I've dealt with it long before I met you. It's not affecting me. I'm not angry because of it. But they are, and maybe later on they do realize that, maybe therapy or it comes out somehow, some form or another. But it's possible that they don't even realize that what took place to them happened to them. So then are they guilty for not exposing that or letting you know that before you got married?
Wow.
So you say that they feel that they've overcome it and they're good, but they don't even realize that they really haven't overcome it. Or maybe it's something that, mm-hmm. you know, maybe you can, I don't know how to word this, but maybe it's not right on the surface, but it's still, you know, it's still always going to be there.
My question is,
and I mean, forgive me if y'all address this, but is it incumbent upon us as a spouse, that even while you're dating, to just come out and ask, you know, ask somebody, hey, have you ever been sexually abused? Because, I mean, I know that's it sounds kind of simple, but a lot of things come down to, well, you never asked me. Or, you know, if you never asked somebody, of course they're not going to come forward with that. But, you know, sometimes I think if we just take the time to ask, you never know what you might hear.
That might to a woman might sound a little creepy.
No, rape happens. They say rape happens what, at least once every two or three times in every minute. Any woman who that sounds crazy to is clearly untouched with reality. No. That is a very common thing. I mean, maybe not to the degree of somebody getting beat down and, you know, I mean, forcing the sex. But in some way, shape, or form, sexual abuse happens every day. I think I forgot the statistic. But no, I don't think that's a forward question at all, especially to somebody who you're dating and trying to get to know.
But what would you consider a forward question?
No, I don't think anything. I mean, honestly, if you're trying to get to know your spouse, the ins and outs of, you know, things that, you know, could potentially affect you and affect your relationship, there is no question that, you know, really is too far. I mean, you need to know somebody's, you know, their status as far as, you know, STDs go. You need to know what they've gone through in their life, you know, and vice versa.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of times, in good words, brothers, is I don't think enough time is spent, you know, we go out to the movies and we, you know, we going out to dinner and we're going out for picnics and she's meeting mom and dad, but are you really having, like, deep conversations about, you know, like the brother said, have you ever been sexually abused or any of the topics that we touch on? I mean, it's deep stuff, you know, and a lot of times we don't, in relationships, unfortunately, we don't get into this stuff, you know, until after, you know, we've walked down the aisle and everything. And I think, you know, especially in today's world, today's crazy, crazy world, it's, I mean, it's really nothing off the table. I mean, if you can, you know, as the brother said, it's like, you know, what is your status? I mean, if you could ask him that, you know, it's probably it's a myriad of things that you can ask a woman. Just trying to find out what she's been through, and you know, just trying to find out, as the other brother said, are you equipped to handle some of this stuff? You know.
So let me ask this question to all the brothers on the phone, and those. Can ask themselves, I guess, those who are listening. But did you ask your spouse all the questions that we're talking about tonight before you got married?
Nope.
So now I'm trying to figure out where this is coming from. Then how do we become the Dr. Phils of the world and saying what someone's supposed to ask when we really haven't practiced that ourselves?
Internship for everybody.
I think right.
So if you did it over, you would ask the question. If you had it to do over, you'd ask the question.
Yeah, and I think that what we're probably saying, and as we always say, is that, you know, in the, you know, living in the real, striving for the ideal, you know, however that saying goes. But I think absolutely. I mean, in 2011, it's a lot. But I say this: it's a lot more questions that I would have asked my current wife. It probably wouldn't have changed anything. You know, I'm not saying that, but it's definitely a lot more. It was a lot more opportunity because we dated 4 years before we got married. But again, just the surfacey stuff, you know, we really didn't dig deep, you know, like we do here. And yeah, you know, if I could go back, I'd be like, yeah, you know, we'll.
I guess what I'm getting at is that, because how long have you been married, Rodney?
12 years this past Sunday.
12 years. So great, great. Congratulations on that. So 12 years. Now, here's my thing. And how old, if you don't mind me asking, were you and your wife when you got married?
21, 22.
So a lot of stuff between 21 and 22, or let's just say 21 years. Let's say for, is that your wife 21?
No, I was 21. Yeah, she was
okay, old. So through all of those 22 years, my guess is if you had to ask every question that you thought was important to ask, you'd still be asking the questions and still haven't walked down the aisle.
Which is true.
You're so right. My point is, at what point, because you're thinking of things today, 12 years later, that you're thinking you would have asked her if you had thought about it then. So this is my point. In 12 more years, you're going to have another 12 years worth of questions that you would have wanted to ask her before you got married.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, at what point do you just ask the questions that you did ask and move on with the answers that you received?
And basically, you know, like we're here today, July 12, 2011, you know, just broaching the subject today. And I think that's the beauty of it, is that we're never going to know everything about our wives.
Yes.
And I get what you're saying, Rodney, and that's a great thought, because you're right. I mean, we could go back and like, I wish we would have talked about this. But again, going forward, another 12 years, it's going to be another laundry list of questions that we could have talked about. And, you know, I understand what you're saying. I just say that, you know, me personally, I speak for myself, is that I would have probably dug a little deeper. We might not would have touched on sexual abuse, you know, honestly, but we would have dug a lot deeper, you know, had I known some of the stuff, you know, that I've learned, you know, on these shows every week.
But
go ahead like that.
I hear what y'all are saying with the questions, and, you know, yeah, 12 years in, you probably have 16 million more questions, 12 more years from now, blah, blah, blah. But there's certain things up front that you would hope that you would address. Have you ever had an STD? Have you ever killed anybody?
Has you ever been in jail? Do you have your dues tied? Have you had your? Have you had? I mean, have you done? I mean, these are certain things that you could basically just ask these questions up front, and then you won't ever come back to those probably again. No, but I mean, you could ask those concrete questions.
Right. Okay. So, but this is my point. We're saying those are common questions, but none of us ask them. So how common really are they?
Here's the thing, though, and here's what can be learned about it. Clearly, we can't go back to the past. What we can do now, if we haven't asked those questions, we can ask them now, but probably even more importantly, you can reach out, you know what I'm saying, as a mentor to somebody like myself who just got married or someone who's looking to get married and help them to make sure they dig deeper. I mean, I think that's what can definitely be learned from this. You know, everybody has somebody that they can mentor, somebody can talk to, so don't let the conversation be in vain.
Oh, no, no, absolutely not. And I'm not against questions.
You're just like, where does it end? Where does it end?
I'm not against questions. I'm against very valid questions that you should be asking. There's some things that we talked about before me and my wife got married. There's a lot of things, if I look back and say what I should have, could have, would have, you know, I would be, you know, I'd be wasting a whole lot of precious moments I could be spending with the now.
And would you say, Rodney, that can you ask too many questions? I mean, because if you dig for some stuff, I mean, you might find some stuff that, like I say, I mean, you say, hey, I'm not equipped for that. So I know we had a good run, 4 or 5 years. can you really, like we said, I mean, you're never going to learn everything about your wife. And some of that's good, some of that's bad, some of that's just like, well, I didn't know you. Leave your socks in the middle of the floor like that. It is what it is, but I think that's the beauty of relationships.
Absolutely.
You know, that it's always a constant, as you say, 12 years from now, I still, you know, be learning more about my wife and her with me. You know, so I think that's the whole, you know, beauty of being in a relationship and then and going on in marriage. But, you know, at some point you can, you know, and you would never run out of questions to ask each other. Never.
No, and I'm saying if you try to learn everything, if you think you can, first of all, try to learn everything up front, then what's the purpose of the relationship?
Yeah.
And I think back to P's point about, you know, whether you went to jail or, you know, that kind of stuff. I think that kind of stuff is subjective. I mean, I think if you're not in jail now, some people it's like, oh, you did a couple overnight stays or whatever. What was the big deal? You clean, your record clean now, no felonies. It's not a big deal, but I think that list is to each individual, it's subjective. You know, what's important and what's not.
That's exactly right. So if you had smoked some weed in college, really, is that a deal breaker?
Right.
Is that a valid? I mean, is that a question that's really going to be a deal breaker?
Yeah, that might not be, but if you find out that your now wife, you know, danced on tables,
sure,
you know,
sure,
to make
it
to college, she's not dancing on tables now. She's past that stage, you know. So now she's working for the IRS or whatever the case may be. She just did that to make money to get through college. Is that? I mean, you know, is that some stuff that you think you should know?
I don't think that's on an individual basis. I mean, you know, I got some shady stuff in terms of things that I've done in the past, hanging out in the streets and doing, you know, different things. But, you know, should it be her deal? I mean, it can be. It breaks down to an individual level.
Exactly.
Myself, I don't, if you had 15 boyfriends before me and you were married 5 times before me, I don't know necessarily that's a deal breaker to me. I don't even know if I really want to know.
Right.
To be honest with you.
Well, you don't want to know that. You don't want to know that at all.
But there are some brothers who do.
Right.
Nah, so that's what I'm saying. I'm not against the question. But at some point, I think individually, I guess it has to be an individual thing on, you know, how many questions is too many questions.
There is no such thing. It's all in what you do with it. Now, here's the thing. There is no such thing as, you know, something that you just, you know what, man, I just don't want to know that. That's BS. And to me, for real, that's a little boy talk, in my opinion. You want to know as much stuff about your spouse, you know what I mean, beforehand going in, because you need to know how you were going to react, you know, to something. You know,
I disagree.
Whereas 10 years deep into a relationship,
I don't want to find out, you know what I'm saying, that my wife, you know what I'm saying, was in jail, or she popped ecstasy, you know what I'm saying, back in college, or she did something that's just outrageous. If I didn't find out, you know what I mean, beforehand, you know, that's one thing. I understand that. But the thing is, if you're asking these questions beforehand, there shouldn't be anything that you ask that a true spouse should get defensive about, because you need to know how your reaction is going to be. If you don't, then shame on you for not asking.
But I don't really care how her and her ex-boyfriend had sex. I don't really. Why would I really want to know that?
Yeah, but again, we say that, and I'm with you because I don't really want to know details too.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? But at some, I mean, let's just throw a hypothetical out there. She was with a. At a young age, she was dating a more experienced, an older guy,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she got turned out a little bit. I mean, it happens all the time. Young women date older women. I mean, older men.
Yeah.
And they get experience and they learn things and whatever. Then they think, okay, well, he's out of the picture now. I'm gonna find somebody my own age to get married, and then that husband is you. And then there are things that she hasn't told you. And you're doing the best that you can, you know, but there's things that you might need to know to step your game up that she's already been exposed to. I mean, I could be wrong.
Well, but here's my point is, can I know that? Can she tell me that without telling me she did it to this other guy like that?
I mean, I don't know how it will come out.
Right, it don't come out that
way. I got no answer for that.
But that's my point. I don't necessarily need to know he did it to you like this and he turned you out to do it this way.
Yeah.
All I need to know is how you like it.
Yeah.
Who made you like it that way? I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm the beneficiary.
There you go.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, but again, I think that we need to know as much information as we can possibly know, even the stuff that we're not prepared to handle. I think we need to at least venture down and find out, because it can come back and bite us. That sexual abuse thing is a ticking time bomb.
Yep.
It's ticking.
It sure is.
And when that bomb goes off, if you're not, I don't even know what to say, man, if you're not mentally, sometimes physically prepared,
yep.
You know, you don't know what to. And just like P said earlier, you know, you could think it's you.
But, you know, I think if we heard, and hopefully maybe we have to play some clips back from the women's show on this, because I'm almost positive what we'd hear on that show is that men are so hypocritical, because we're the ones that don't talk. We don't want to talk about our emotions. And like the Sugar Ray Leonard thing, why do you think he kept it 30 years? And same thing Rodney was saying, because of the machismo and all this other stuff. Men don't share like that. We don't talk like that. So who is holding more of those secrets, even if they're asked a question in that relationship? Typically, I'm not saying in all cases, but typically it's going to be the man. So we're sitting here saying, you know, this is just ungodly almost for women to kind of keep this thing. And I'm not saying it's right for them to keep secrets or for us not to ask these questions and things like that. I'm not really putting it out there like that. All I'm saying is whatever we say on this side of the law, so to speak, has to be you know, has to be enforced on the other side as well.
And
if we ain't willing to do that, we need to drive the conversation.
And you're right. And you know what, Rodney? I agree with you 100%. And like I said, I would bet my bottom dollar that 8 out of 10 men would not disclose that they've been sexually abused to their wife.
Sure.
Or 8 out of 10.
No man, probably not on this phone call. I'm sure there's some crazy men out there, but no man on this phone would probably go to their spouse tonight, or would have done it before they got married, and said, you know what, my ex-girlfriend Renee, she put it to me like this, and I did her like this, and this is how I kind of want you to kind of do it with me.
Yeah,
I don't. We wouldn't put that out there like that. I'm sorry.
Can we keep this in the perspective? No. Clearly, I don't need to talk about her, how she's had sex with other people. That, and has she been sexually abused, or does she have an STD, are two totally different things.
No. Yeah. But wait a minute, because before I flipped that script, everybody was on the same page. Not on the man's side.
No, because we were talking about the woman and saying, hey, well, we want to know everything, you know, if and I said, we don't need to know if you had 15 boyfriends before. If you've been, you know, well, I guess we do need to know whether or not how many times you've been married. That's probably helpful. But, but in terms of how many boyfriends you had and this, that, and the other, and some were saying that, no, you know, that's relevant. And, you know, if he's turned you out this way, and those are relevant. And no one shut that down. But now as soon as I flip the script, I'm going to say, oh, no, that's stupid questions. You know, why you want to ask something like that? because now you being asked.
Well, it's different. It's a different question. Yes, to me, I say from my vantage point, I say this. How many boyfriends you had or how many, you know, lovers or spouses or, you know, I mean, how many sexual partners you had, to me, is a very relevant question. What you might have done as far, you know, I mean, consensually done in your relationship, you know what I'm saying? That, to me, you know, is not what I need to know. But, yes, I do want to know how many sexual partners you've had. I want to know how many serious relationships you've been in. To me, that's relevant. So I guess, you know, it gets a physical person.
But isn't a more relevant question than that one is saying, you know, at least doing a screening, some type of testing, you guys go together, whatever, you do an AIDS test or you're doing some kind of STD test. Isn't that more relevant than how many boyfriends you didn't slept with? Because you with me now.
For your health wise, I think it's definitely I think of course the whole HIV thing is certainly more important. But for me, yes, I want to know how many boyfriends you've had. I want to know, you know what I'm saying, how your relationship went in the past. You know what I'm saying, I want to know, you know, some
that's
of the maybe not the specifics of, you know, what positions y'all did, but yes, I want to know what might have went wrong in your relationship. I want to know what shaped
that's
your personality to this day.
You'd have to talk to the boyfriend too, wouldn't you?
What was that?
You'd have to talk to the boyfriend, too, in terms of why did the relationship go back, and she's going to tell you every time it wasn't my fault.
Maybe. I mean, you don't know until you ask. You know,
and then that brother's going to tell you, she's crazy, she put a knife to my throat, I had a restraint order on her, and that, you know, you might get some whole different details.
Well, I guess it depends on. I mean, depending on what she tells you, you know what I mean, should let you know how much you need to investigate further.
Now we went from questions to hiring an investigator.
I'm going to come back to haunt.
Wow. When she tell you, you don't satisfy her like the dude she was with before.
Mm. Oh, that's a relationship just need to end.
That's exactly. But I like that because that's forthright. If she comes out and says something like that, and we're talking, are we talking prior to marriage?
But hold on, but you asked to know it though.
You said I know it.
I said no. You asked to find out. So
I understand.
Your curiosity took you to that point. So I'm like this. Some things are better not known, man. Because I'm gonna tell you, brother.
Sure.
Some of the things you're gonna find out are not gonna be that happy. If that's gonna be a deal breaker, maybe you just don't need to ask that question.
You only ask because you dig for it, you're gonna find it.
Yep.
Yeah, but what good information,
grown man?
What if it's good information for you to know?
Exactly. I mean, that's the other side of it. That's the other side of it.
Other than abuse, I don't need to know anything else. I mean, nothing's going to be
okay.
Yeah,
but
that's
another way to look at it. Go ahead.
Okay.
There's another way to look at it. You know, when you go to the mechanic and you don't fix your car right, you go to a mechanic that does. So, yeah, I wouldn't want to know.
I mean, but, you know, some women look for security, money, and a good provider. Okay, so they marry that person. You know, but there are other things that need to happen. There are other jobs that we also have as husbands too, and that's satisfying our wives. So
sure.
I mean, wouldn't we like to know what it's going to take to achieve that goal as well?
Absolutely.
And sometimes by way of understanding it, we may not like the presentation, but we still have to achieve the goal. I would think.
I'm looking at more. That's a flat out disrespect. If I'm asking her, you know, how do you like it, and you gotta bring up Albert's name.
Don't bring it. Yeah, but
that's just a flat out disrespect.
You're right.
It's good that you know because you know that she doesn't have respect for you. She doesn't have any tact to herself. You know, I mean, she has no type of empathy at all. That's something that's good. I'm glad I asked that question because you know what? Clearly, this ain't gonna work out if that's gonna be your freaking response.
Okay, listen. It could be something real simple like, okay, I'm used to more foreplay. I'm used to more affection.
That's what somebody else
has given her more foreplay at, in the past. Doesn't have to be Albert.
The presentation I want to hear say is I would like. Not I'm used to.
Thank you, because I'm gonna tell you, you're gonna be a mad toll when she talks about I'm used to. That means
you're banged out from the back more.
I wouldn't even think about asking my wife something like that. Then I'd be mad as hell because I'm thinking I have to meet somebody else's standards.
Yeah.
No way.
Here's a question. Is it any difference if it's sexual abuse, if it's verbal abuse, or being abused, battered?
No difference. It's all abuse. You should disclose it.
Agree.
Yeah.
You gotta bring it up. I mean, come on, man. But this is the thing. You get in the. I mean, you wouldn't know that her dad verbally abused her for all of her life, or emotionally abused her. Mom did that to her, and you get in a heated argument with her, and all of a sudden, like, she just collapses or shatters, or something goes awry, or comes at you to attack you or something. I mean, you don't. Whoa, wait a minute. I was just raising my voice, putting a little bit extra bass in my voice to bring home the point of we're not doing that. And it took you somewhere that I knew nothing about.
Nothing.
Something that you need to know there.
Right, and that's the whole point behind everything I've been saying tonight. Just give me a chance to equip myself. Because with most of the men on this call, from what I've gathered, I'm starting to recognize voices and know who's on, who's not on, when people come in, when people go, blah, blah, blah. We want to equip ourselves in order to be the best head of household, and whether it's a relationship or a marriage or whatever it may be. So if you give me a chance to equip myself to be the best head of household that I can be, it makes it better for all of us.
Yeah.
It just makes it better for all of us. It doesn't mean that I'm going to run. It doesn't mean that I'm going to stay. It just means that I'm going to be given an opportunity to decide what I want to do in order to continue to move forward with you and what direction we're going in. Because, again, if I'm not equipped, I'm going to make you feel even worse than you already feel. And it wouldn't be intentional. I would just be like, oh, goodness, and probably shut down. I'd be like, I don't know what to do, and not interact with you for a couple of days, or be really, despondent or whatever, and you would feel even worse.
And you know something? The perfect example, I'm going to give you a perfect example of what he's talking about, was when Rodney said that his wife had an uncle that passed away, and she went to the funeral, and he didn't go, and he wasn't really sympathetic because he never knew that anything about this uncle, how close he was, or nothing. So when she came back, he was like, okay, we need to talk about something else. You know what I mean? So he was kind of broadsided, I would say, Rodney. Would you agree somewhat?
Absolutely, yeah.
You know what I mean? You didn't know anything about it because, you know, and that's the same thing with this abuse thing. You know, once it comes to a head, you're like, huh? What happened to you? How come I didn't know?
And I want to speak to that, brother was saying. When, you know, we talk about the sexual abuse thing and, I'm pretty sure that all of y'all have daughters. And I want to ask, you know, y'all ain't out of the woods yet. You know, I got two daughters myself, so I'm asking this question of myself as well. But, you know, what happens when your daughter is sexually abused? Maybe she's violated by a family member. Maybe it's that coach, you know, maybe it's that teacher, you know, or maybe, you know, it's that longtime boyfriend,
you know, whatever the case, you know, I mean, what do you do? How do you respond to that when it's your, you know, I know all of y'all got daughters, you know, so I mean, just flip it around. You know, we think that, oh, you know, we're not dealing with that in our marriage, you know, thank God, or that we know of. But what about when it's your daughter, when sexual abuse, when your daughter is sexually violated?
Well,
how do you respond?
How do you spell jail?
Jail's too good for a sexual deviant, though, that hurts any child. I'll plan a funeral. I'll pay for the damn thing. Sorry.
I mean, in all actuality, hopefully what you're doing is you're equipping yourself with knowing the resources and people surrounding you, whether it's a minister, whether it's a counselor, whether it's a neighborhood friend, a sibling, or somebody, I can really provide you or be that resource in case something like that does occur. It's just like somebody said earlier. You know who to go to if you get something's wrong with your car. You got a mechanic. You probably got your attorney in your Rolodex right now, probably on speed dial. You probably also got your doctor and all the things necessary right on your refrigerator. If something would have happened and you would have collapsed in your kitchen, so your family would know what to say about what the medicines you're taking and all that stuff. You need to be doing the same thing with regards to getting the proper resources to make sure that you can hopefully fend off some of these things if they do occur. Someone gave the statistic earlier that 60% of women have been abused in some capacity. So you know it's probably coming to your door in some capacity if you have a little girl. So what you should be doing is having that number somewhere, too. You should have that resource in place to know who to contact, whether if it's your wife, if it's a school psychologist, if you have somebody that is a family doctor, if you have somebody that's definitely a counselor at a shelter, somebody in your family. You should know somebody to be able to call so that if you're not equipped personally for it, you at least know who to get on the phone so that you don't. Because the initial thing is you're going to react. You're going to want to do something to probably put yourself in jail. But that doesn't help the situation at all. Then you really can't help your child. What you need to do is figure out, okay, this is what we need to do. These are the proper channels that we need to do. So after we dial 911 so that they can go get this person, I need to have this in place in order to support my daughter and be able to provide her with the resources necessary. You do it for everything else in life. And that's one of the things I've always said on this phone. Use common sense in the situation. You do it for everything else in life. When your car is jacked up, my man explained the other day, he gave a good example. He was in a, he's blessed to be alive. He and his wife with the car accident. Got on, called his insurance company, did everything he needed to do and knew where it was and how to do it. Same thing with regards to this. Make sure you know what you need to do. And that ain't just for little girls. That's for your little boys, too.
Yeah.
You know what we need to do with regards to financial planning with 529s, making sure that they got the college money, making sure they got all this stuff. Same thing here. You got to do the same thing here. This is a Christian call. A lot of people are talking about the fact that, and I've heard y'all say it in the past, you know, we going to Sunday school, we going to Bible class, we doing all this. Bam! You need to be doing the same thing with this. This ain't no different. You don't wait till it comes to your door and then try to scramble and figure out how to do it. You have that in place.
And that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, absolutely agree with that.
I was just going to say, just to rewind it, you know, just to say that you need to be having a conversation. You know, we talked about communication. You need to sit your daughter down and say, look, I'm a man. You know, we have urges or however you want to do it, you know, age appropriate, but that conversation needs to be had.
But it needs to be had right now because – As we're speaking, I read the paper today, and I just brought the paper back up in the Washington Post. It has an article in here where a teacher sexually abused a 4-year-old girl. Girl told mama. Now I come to find out the parents went home and started asking their kids, and he's done this to multiple kids.
Oh, man.
You know, another second case for child abuse is coming up, and it's right here in today's paper, right there in the Metro section of the Washington Post, man. And to listen to this conversation, I remember my wife having to sit down, I had another sit down with my kids about, listen, inappropriate touches. Somebody, you know, let me know, because I'm going to have it. There was a time where that my son said, he thought he was inappropriately touched, which he wasn't. But he told me,
I went to go find out about the situation, got the facts straight, and understood what ended up happening. He was just trying to get, Quentin was about to fall down the steps, and he grabbed him by his stomach.
Mm-hmm.
And Quentin felt like he, you know, he was inappropriately touched, but he was just grabbing him from not falling down the steps.
You know what, though? He was spot on. He did it right. You taught him what to do, and he did it. You can't fall through for that. I'll take a false alarm all day, but I don't want to take you not telling me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, you know, that night I was over at the house. I was, hey, I need to speak to you. We need to handle this.
And not to bring up, I hate to bring up Casey Anthony, but wasn't she abused? Did her father abuse her? Did they come out?
I think it's still out on. I think the jury's still out on that.
They don't know exactly if she was abused, but they believe that's what happened. The whole family's twisted. If you listen to what they've talked about, and the father actually knowing exactly what he did, because you know you look at it, his testimonial. He used to be a police officer, so he knew how to make his story not stick.
Right.
So,
But
I question that Kaylee Anthony was either the father or the brother's child. I don't know.
Wow. That's a total different. Yeah. That's
yeah.
That's why I said I hate to bring it up. Bring us back to those.
Well. Patrice mentioned earlier about the 4-year-old girl, and here's the point that I'm trying to get to. That 4-year-old girl that was assaulted, at one particular time in her life, she's going to get married.
Mm-mm-mm.
And between now and that point, she's going to figure out a way to suppress that and
mm-hmm.
deal with it and lock it away somewhere. Right?
Yep.
And then
but
by the time she gets married.
She has a kid.
Okay, but by the time she gets married, what we're saying on this call, that we expect her to unlock that box, you know, that since 4 years old she's been dealing with, and she says, well, you know, when I was 4, I got sexually assaulted by my teacher, and I'm just telling you this up front. And I'm
unlock the box, because if you value what we're trying to build together, this is a key piece of our foundation. But basically what you said, I mean, I guess the way I look at it, I might be wrong, fellas, but like I said, this goes for men, too. If we got a faulty foundation because you didn't share with me something or tell me that mold was in the wall or that the rivets weren't put in correctly and the 35W bridge is going to collapse, you didn't tell me that and you knew it? Now, it may or may not happen. It could be like Shirley Ray, go 30 years and never come forward. But then you tell me, I mean, or it comes out later, I mean, that just shows me you didn't really give us the chance to be at our best. You just hoped that the bridge wouldn't collapse. You just hoped that the house wouldn't shift. You just hoped that nobody would come in and say, huh, I actually have an allergy to mold. There's mold in this house. Why would you rely on hope instead of actually giving it a chance? Just give it a chance, and you got to disclose. And I understand that she's 4. She might get married at 26. So she's got 22 years of trying to suppress this, to move on, to be able to continue to build her life and to grow it and get education and do all these things and accomplish and be somebody. Got it. But when you talk about the sanctity of what a marriage is and the values and all the things that encompass it, you can't afford to take that gamble or hope. You just can't. You can't. Because there's too many things that are involved at that point. When a man ultimately comes to the table, now I'm not going to say all men, but I'm going to speak for the men on this call. I would like to believe that. When I come to the table and say, look, I love you. I'm going to spend the rest of my life with you. I'm going to be here. I'm going to do everything I need to do. I'm a God-fearing man. I'm going to do everything necessary to make sure that you never want. And I do this. I'm in love with you. I'm in it. I am seriously in it, and I'm not bone-jangling. I'm not BSing. I told you everything that you want to know, and I will probably say to you, if you got any questions about anything, ask me right now, and I'll give you whatever you need to know, because I am that committed towards us being together in this marriage and all the things that are necessary. So, having said that, you got to give that. You got to disclose that. But I'm...
I'm trying to be the very best that I can be. But when you install the mold, when you put in faulty rivets, when you have a shaky foundation, wow, I mean, you collapsing me. You collapsing me.
I mean, and again, does anybody else want to touch on that? I mean, because he's got some good points.
I mean, God, man, and like I said, this ain't just about women. It's men, too. Because if you're a man and you've been abused, and I definitely want to be able to be, what's the right word?
Sympathetic. Yeah,
and sympathetic. Anybody on this call, but you need to reveal that. Because this is like you're building something together, man. You know what I'm saying? You are really building something together.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
it's equivalent of that. Oh, okay. It'd be equivalent of this. We got a class project. We got a group project. We do all the work. We working. We got things that we got to do together as a group, and then certain things that you got to go do on your own. We get back and we get an A on the project. Then I find out later that, you know what, hey, Ronnie, you went off and you actually plagiarized over here, but it's our group project. So now, not only did you impact your grade and you ain't going to graduate, now it's me too. Me too. That's how you do it?
Go ahead, Rod. So I think everybody gets the passion that we have, the upfront passion of maybe getting to know as best we can, because we can't know everything. I think we've kind of exhausted that. But it's the best you can know the person that you're going to get married to and going to give put your life out there for. But here's where we're at, right? We're in the marriage. And things that weren't disclosed before are being disclosed now. So it's not a matter of how many questions can I ask before I get in. I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
So now what do I do with it when the answers come up that I looked for in the beginning? So they come up now. Now what do you do in terms of head of household? Because you're not head of household when you're just asking questions and dating. Now you're the head of this household. With maybe white children or what have you. Now these things are coming up. Now they're saying, yeah, I was sexually abused. And I guess that's the one that's being used so much, so I'm going to use that. But, yeah, now I'm telling you that at 7, I was sexually abused. What do you do then?
Wow.
It's not so much I love her and I'm for her and I'm going to die for her, put all this stuff out on the table. You know, no, forget all that because it's over. Rodney got 12 years, I'm sorry. 12 years down. Now 12 years has passed. You ain't got time to go back there. You can't go back there if you wanted to. There's no DeLoreans out front. There's no Back to the Future going on. You're in this. Now how do you deal with it? If you truly going to be at a house, it's more than asking questions.
What did you just say, though? What did y'all just say before that about being prepared for every situation? For one, you want to take things one question at a time. I think what you want to do is, I mean, there's two answers to every question. You know what I'm saying? It's yes or no. So the answer is possibly yes. Maybe you should have researched beforehand or think about what your reaction would be if her answer is yes. And if you think about that beforehand, that means you had time to, to consider, you know, what you could possibly do. You know what I'm saying? Can I go talk to my pastor about this? Can I go talk to another associate who I know has already gone through that? You know, what should be my response to her? So my whole thing is, you know, try to plan ahead. You know what I'm saying? Before you ask that question, think about what your response is going to be.
Yeah, and just to follow up on that, good words, is that what if the answer is yes, I've been sexually abused?
Sure.
I mean, do we now treat that as a handicap?
Or is it a deal breaker?
You know, exactly. Or, you know, do we talk about it in the standpoint, you know, just tying back to last week's show, you know, special needs. You know, that's an area you're treating your wife now, it's like she has this, you know, it's a wound. It's you know, it's a handicap or whatever. It's a special need that needs to be dealt with. And as Rodney was saying, it's like, okay, what are you going to do now? You know, it's like, and that's what I was saying earlier, is that some stuff might need to be revealed on the other side because your wife or your wife-to-be might have saw the potential, you know.
I'm sorry, Rodney. I had to jump in and cut you off because I'm gonna cut right to the chase. Things are going to be revealed afterwards. Everything was not revealed. I don't care what relationship you're in or how much you love your wife, how much you trust your wife. Everything was not revealed to you. about her before you got married. So it's not a matter of if something comes up. It's a matter of when.
Yep.
How are you going to deal with it?
Right here in my backyard.
Did you get a divorce based on that?
No.
Why?
Hey, Rodney, you have been driving down. I mean, you and I have been like connected all night. and the reason why I say that is because I have a monkey wrench. But I didn't want to do it at 10 o'clock. I wanted to do it towards the end because there's something for us to think about. And this is going to be an obvious monkey wrench for this format. But the question that I want to ask, because we talk about, you know, we love our wives, we're the head of the household, and we want to be prepared, we want to ask the questions, we want to know all this information. But the question is, what if your wife was sexually assaulted while she was your wife by someone else?
Wow.
How would you look at her? Are we strong enough to handle that?
We're going to have to be. You don't have a choice.
You really don't have a choice.
I agree with you, but I don't think everybody on the call will agree with you on that, Patrice.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we do. I mean, we all those issues that happen that we know happen, where other brothers walk. I mean, as Patrice said, I mean we stand firm. I mean, that's what we do as head of household.
You're really gonna have to become that nurturer. You're gonna have to, take the role. You almost have to replace her role as the nurturer. Usually the wives are the nurturers of the family. You're going to have to take that role and do it the exact same thing she would do for the kids to her. You got to make sure she's comfortable, safe, make every doctor's appointment, tell her it's going to be okay, we're going to go to church, we're going to pray, we're going to find the person who did this. And always staying positive, because if she sees any weakness in you at her point of being low, because she's going to start taking it out on you.
Yeah. Well, and I agree with something that was being said earlier in terms of 100% on the you have to be prepared. You have to constantly prepare yourself, and all the examples that were being used, I absolutely agree, in every other area of your life. In your spirit life, and I didn't really want to go there this early, but nonetheless, you have to be prepared for anything. That's what you're saying when you say, to death do us part, for rich or for poor, in sickness and in health. You're saying, I'm going to prepare for whatever comes, spiritually, I'm going to prepare that I can cope and I can deal with whatever comes up in this relationship. And we're going to work on this together. That's if you're going to prepare, that's what you're going to do. That's how you're going to prepare. I'm not going to get prepared if I ask her if she was sexually assaulted.
No.
That's not preparing me. Now, I agree, as they were talking about preparing, I forget who it was, but it was talking about preparing was, getting outside resources. I don't know, maybe you have books, maybe you have your pastor, maybe you have a doctor, a therapist, or you might have some college courses. I don't know how to deal with different things or whatever it is, but you're preparing yourself. Hopefully you also, preparing yourself, more importantly, in the Word, in your relationship with God. Again, I don't want to put everybody out there and thinking that everyone's a believer and God is on the phone, but nonetheless, you have to be anchored somehow, because it's not a matter of if, it's only a matter of when. And when it comes up, were you prepared for it? And if you weren't, who's to blame? Really, her for saying she was sexually assaulted, or you for not being prepared at head household?
Hey, Hawk.
Yeah.
It's Rodney, man. I'm getting ready to sign off, big dog.
Okay, brother. Talk
yeah,
to you.
Yeah, it's great. You guys did a great job, and we'll see you next Tuesday. Can you tell them the website to go to?
www. I'm sorry, WLLradio.com.
All right. That's my man, T-Hawk. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you. Okay, go ahead, Rodney. I'm sorry.
I mean, that was my point. Because, you know, at that point, who do you really blame? Because we're supposed to be preparing in here. We're supposed to be preparing for just about anything that we can, that we'll find ourselves up against in the relationship. And whether they had a household, she's the weaker vessel. We're the strength. We're the iron, if you will, in the relationship. And if we're supposed to be prepared when something comes up because it wasn't discussed early on before we got married or early on in the relationship, and it's just coming up now, if I'm not prepared, then who's really the weak link here?
Yeah, wow. And I think that the biggest point, just to follow up on what you said, Rod, is that you have to be spiritually anchored because we can't prepare for everything.
Right.
I'm sorry. I mean, it's going to be a situation where it's like, whoa, where did that come from?
Rodney, is that you saying that?
It is. And because,
man,
I try to prepare. You know, I help you out after 11, T-Hawk. But, you know, literally what I'm talking about is what Rodney was saying is that you have to be anchored, rooted, rightly planted so you can – you may not be – you know, prepared to deal with that issue, but you can deal with it. You know, you can ultimately deal with it if you're firmly planted and rooted in, you know, the things of God, period. You know, because that's the bottom line. Because as I said, we can ask all 100 questions and, you know, time can pass and we can ask 1,000 more questions, but we're not going to be prepared for every situation and circumstance, but in the same respect, we can be prepared for every situation and circumstance, if that makes any sense.
That makes absolute sense.
So basically, what you're just saying, the both of yous, is that...
the two rides.
That New York coming out.
Is that even if we weren't brought up to speed with her past sexual abuse, even if we weren't, and it comes out some at some point in the marriage, no matter whether we knew or we didn't know, whether she has been molested by a coworker while we're still married to her, we still have to be prepared. Period.
Yes. That's our objective. In the relationship is to be prepared, to be on top of it. Somebody said to think two steps ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And that's it. It's not enough. Like I said, so we have a list. We prepared a list of questions that we want to ask, but what do we do with the answers?
Got right.
Wow.
Exactly.
Hey, that's again. I mean, that's how you wrap up a talk show. I mean, straight up. That's how you shut it down. I mean, because at the end of the day, if we're not prepared, can we still call ourselves the head of this household?
There you go.
Right.
There you go.
If she comes home with something disturbing, you know what I mean, and we're not in position to handle it, can we call ourselves the head of the house?
Absolutely.
And as Rodney said, who's the weak link now?
Who's the weak link now?
You were preparing.
Sure.
Right.
Sure, and I do understand disclosure. Disclosure is huge.
Sure, I absolutely agree with that.
Disclosure is huge, but there's some things, just like we said, I said 8 out of 10 men probably won't ever tell their wives that they've been sexually assaulted because now they've gotten past it, hopefully, and it's done. It's not going to interfere with what they're trying to do moving forward. So maybe, you know, the women are on the same page. Well, you know, I've gotten past it, or whatever the case may be. But, again, we have to be prepared, and that's some good words.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think the mistake that we make is we're reactive instead of proactive. You know, we're not just, you know, when things are going swell and swimmingly, you know, we're not, and I speak directly of myself. You know, I told y'all before, you know, that I wasn't doing what I need to do in between showing up at the church house. You know, I was there all the time, but in between time, I'd be doing my own thing. You know, I wasn't reading or studying or praying or doing anything, you know, because things were going swimmingly. And then I had my accident. And then it's like, whoa, I probably should be doing this every day, period. Situation or no situation, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, good job tonight, fellas. I'm about to sign off, man. I appreciate all y'all cast. God bless.
Hey, thank good words, God, man. I'll let you.
I'm going to but Rodney, that's I'm glad you brought up that point. And I'm gonna terminate the recording and we're gonna go on open mic. So
all right.
Give me 1 second. All right, well, it's not working. I guess it'll terminate on its own. But this is open mic, fellas. This is where we let our hair down and talk about whatever we want to talk about. You could stay on topic. You can get off topic, whatever the case may be. But, Rodney, what you said makes a lot of sense because what I'm dealing with right now, you know, we always talk about communication being the most important part of a marriage or relationship, but I think there comes to a point where communication doesn't work. And I know this sounds funny or crazy, but with my situation, we were having some issues, just regular marriage stuff, problems, and I was communicating, and I thought that, you know. Communication is good. Let me just keep talking about what we're dealing with, what I'm dealing with what you're dealing with. And what I found out was it's not time for communication anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. Time for action.
Ah, good.
You see what I'm saying? And it took me a minute because I'm slow. So I was like, okay, you know, the talking, we're not getting anywhere talking because the same arguments, the same, everybody's going to have their, she wants her to make her point. I want to make my point.
Right.
And you would just keep making the same points, but nothing's happened. So now that's the point where it's like, you know what? I'm going to stop talking about it. And just try to just do better. You see what I'm saying? Just do better. And that in some kind of strange way, that's working.
Absolutely. I absolutely know what you're talking about.
You know? Because, you know, I can talk. I'm a salesman by trade. So, you know, I can talk. You know, but sometimes, you know, it's like, okay, stop talking. They don't want to hear it. You got to get in there and, you know, you got to perform. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good word. But that's my little open mic. Does anybody have anything for open mic tonight?
Yeah, I got something.